make that be your heart's cry today. Open up the eyes of your heart. That's a spiritual concept. Open up the eyes of your heart. And Jesus talked about, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Because the world was looking for hope. They were looking for a king. And when they arrested Jesus, Judas's world crashed. It crashed because Judas had it figured all wrong. Judas figured Jesus was going to triumph. He'd seen the miracles for 3.5 years. He had his hand in the treasury, and it wasn't good. He had both hands in there. He was a thief. The Bible says he was a thief. But Jesus still trusted him with the gift. God gave him a gift to be a good steward, and he was not doing it right. Why would Jesus put him in that place? He was hoping that the love of God would change his heart, because that's God's desire. What did Moses, what did the finger of God write the commandments on? Stone. What did God have to take out of man? What kind of a heart did he have to remove? A stony heart to put in the heart of flesh. God knew the law. The purpose of the law was not to make you holy. It was to make sin come alive, because sin had to be known that it was what was killing mankind. Man's heart, the Bible says, because of the flood, their hearts were so evil. There was no light at all. All man's heart were darkened. But Noah found grace. There was something in Noah that God, he just turned the light up. He gave him grace. Grace is all through the Bible. God's grace and mercy. We need his grace and mercy. But that stone tablet represented the law. It's the law. It was to drive us to Jesus. Drive us to know that we cannot meet the standard of that law. The Bible says if you fulfill every part and you miss one, you're guilty of every bit. You've never been a thief. You never committed adultery. You never stole. You never honored your mother and your father. If you've done all the other ones and you missed one, you're guilty of all that. But Jesus was the heart of the Father. Was his heart. His heart's cry was forgiveness. His heart cry was compassion. Because he looked at Mary Magdalene with love, with the open the eyes of her heart, Lord. What opens our heart is the love of Christ. When she was caught in the very act of adultery, caught. Oh, I never liked the man was there. They never caught the man. Well, he was there too. Amen. Maybe Jesus, when he wrote in the sand, maybe he wrote the name of the man. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us, but that'd be a good name to write in the sand. Where's such and such? But when it came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, the law says stone her. Stone her, Lord, but what do you say? Don't be quick to answer. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Jesus said, he or she that is without sin, throw the first rock. That was one of those, they had so many things else they wanted to say, but they're like, they knew what sin was because the law had been preached 2,000 years. They knew what sin was, and they knew they were missing it. And Jesus said, cast the first stone. They all walked away except Jesus. Jesus had no sin. He could have threw a rock. The law required it, but grace and mercy said no. There's an old song that says, mercy said no. Jesus said, where are your accusers? He said, they're all gone, Lord. He said, neither do I accuse you. He said, but go, sin no more. Love set her free. It's all about love, guys. Love set me free. Jesus didn't talk about my sin. He talked about how his love of Christ, his love for his son. For God so loved the world, the biggest giver. He gave the best he had. He gave all that he had. God gave his son, Jesus. And that's what we're here to worship today. Amen? And to talk about Jesus. He's awesome, and he's awesome in this place. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this service. Thank you, Lord, for your people that have come to hear from you, to learn from you. And Lord, we just thank you right now that your word will not return to you void, that it will go and it will accomplish and it will bring back fruit to you that's well-pleasing to you, Lord. We just open our eyes, open our hearts to hear what you would be saying today, Father. And we purpose, Lord, that we will not just be hearers, but we will leave this place and we will do it. We will do what the word says to do. And we shall reap, because we're not fainters, we're believers. Amen? Amen. So I just wanted to, I said I was going to give a gift away, and I about forgot about it, Wayne. So open the eyes of my heart and ears, Lord. But we finished our Authorities of the Believer series. We were probably close to maybe a year, probably, I think, in there, close to it. But we record Wednesday nights, and I've got copies out here of our discipleship, evangelism, and now our Authority of the Believer. And I think I'm missing a couple. I'm missing A Better Way to Pray, and I think I got another lesson I got to do. But Sharon LeMasters, I got one of them. First one went to Wayne this morning. He was the first one at church. Now, I tell you what, if you'd the Bible says the early bird, or maybe it's a concept in there. The early bird catches the worm. So Wayne got the word this morning, but Sharon, I got you a copy. You come up here and get your, because she's been struggling to do things that she wants to do. She's been getting knots tied down as she needs to, but she's a woman of the word. So you got the whole Wednesday night Bible study, and that's me, and Tammy might be on there, Miss Judy might be on there. And so you can just listen, and then all the teachings are on there. If you want to take it, print them out, and teach it to somebody, you got it. Amen? All right. And there's 19 more out there. That's called the Word Supply. Early bird gets the word. Here's a title. Y'all can be praying for me, or you can take it and preach it and teach it somewhere. My wife, when we go to the beach, she loves to do wraps. Wrap the ham and cheese and take a little wrap. Take it to the beach instead of bread. It don't get quite as soggy as bread if you wrap it up good. But as we was going yesterday, taking Ruthie's car back, I was listening to Brother Jesse, one of his teaching, and he got to talking about something. I just saw a word wrap. A word wrap. You know, Microsoft has a word wrap. You can take a word and, you know, it wraps it. It puts it in confined margins. So I'm a little techie, but I was thinking about that sandwich, too. She takes wraps to the beach. But then take the word of God and put it in a wrap. And I'll get into that later, the definition of it. The word will confine you. It'll put boundaries in your life. And it will push you to do what's right. In other words, God's not going to, he's not going to make you do anything, but if you'll let his word, if you'll wrap your word in your life, it will keep you safe. Amen. And pack it up, take it with you. Wrap it up. I think one of our teachings I did, the cover was The Word Became Flesh. And I seen it on the internet, and it was like, it was a Bible, it was opened up, and it was the Word. But out of that Bible was a picture of the human, it was Jesus. The Word was all, and he was coming out of that Bible and wrapping his arms around somebody. The Word became flesh. And I love that picture because that's Jesus. He's found in the volume of the book, but he came out of the book. He came from heaven to earth and took this body, took our body, became flesh, and lived the life that we were supposed to live. Amen? That's good news right there. That's good news. So we're going to start back on lesson number 4 on our garden against deception. And didn't get too far last week. It was your guys' fault because y'all were just worshiping the Lord, and we just flowed in the Holy Ghost, said what needed to be said. But our keynote scripture out about guarding against deception came from Genesis 3:13, the World English Bible, when Yahweh God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, beguiled me, and I ate." And from then on, here came the curse. Here came sin, because then the world got turned over to the devil. He took, in other words, he took our position. He took Adam's position over the earth. And you know, if you give the devil any rule or reign in your life, he's going to destroy it. That's his whole purpose, is to destroy God's people. Well, thank God when that happened, God said, his grace came because he said, he prophesied. When God talked to everybody, he talked to that snake and he talked to the devil. And he said, "Woman, this woman's seed shall bruise your head." Amen. So Jesus was prophesied in the beginning. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's going to put an end to this, to the devil. But in his place, Jesus put us back in our position. That's what the authority of the believer is all about, is who we are in Christ. And the devil's a thief, and if you just leave your door open, he don't care if you're sleeping. He'll come in your house. A thief, if you leave the door open, leave your keys unlocked, leave the keys in your car, a good thief will come, and he'll take advantage of that situation. The devil is a thief, so don't give him no place in your life. Amen? So guard against deception. I'm just quickly going to hit some bullet points here. In the last days, the Bible tells us that many will be deceived. You know, the last days started when Jesus left this earth. That was the beginning of the church, but that was, once that started, there was Antichrist. Anybody that's against Christ's teaching goes all the way back 2,000 years ago. Anybody that's against Christ's teaching is Antichrist, but there is one that's going to rise up. And we're not going to be let our guard down. Know the definition of deception. In the Strong's word, Strong's, it means to beguile, to deceive, to lead astray, to delude morally, or to seduce. See, that snake seduced Eve. Those cunning words, and the way he said it, the way the snake said it, it just sounded so smooth. Smooth. Remember that song, I'm a Smooth Operator? The devil is a smooth operator with words. He'll make sin sound good. He'll paint it up real pretty for you. But the end thereof is death. Proverbs talks about that. So one thing we need to do, or need to know right off, is this. Anyone can be subjection to deception. Because if you think you can't, then you're deceived. Because we're, as long as we're in this body and got this brain, this mind that's not totally the mind of Christ yet, we have Christ's mind in me, but ours is still being renewed, and that's up to you. Further you want to go in the Lord is up to you. The more you want to be blessed is up to you. It's doing what the Lord said. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. But you can go out there, if you mess up, that ain't, you know, thank God you got 1 John 1:9 says, if I confess my sin, I messed up, God is faithful to forgive me my sin and wash me of all unrighteousness. Wash it out of the way. Water is a destructive force. You see all this rain we've been having. Y'all be praying, I got to get a day I can mow the yard. Every evening it's kind of like rain, rain, rain. Our grass is growing. There's grass seed in the ground, water's coming, and it's growing. That's seed time and harvest. So my lawnmower is at home like, it's ready to go. But you know what? When I get here, I can't be deceived. That grass is higher than what I usually mow it. So what do I do? Don't think I'm going to come here and mow that thing on the lowest deck. That grass will be all clumpy, and I'll need to think about maybe getting a rake. No, what I got to do, I got to pull that deck up a little bit. Amen. A lot of our harvest is out there rotting on the vine. Amen. There's a lot of seeds that we've sown that we forgot to go harvest, to go get it. And a lot of it, the devil has made us forget it because he's made us too busy over here doing all this other stuff that might be good things, but is it a God thing? Because, see, that's one thing the devil is good at is division, divorce, deception. See, he wants to give you two visions instead of one vision and get you off, lead you astray. That's deception. See, what has God told you to do? And then when you find that in the Word, you find yourself, Jesus found himself in the Word. He said, for this purpose I was created to do, one of his things was to destroy the works of the devil. How did he do it? He found in the Bible where it said, in the scrolls where it said, this day, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For what purpose? This was after he was baptized. The priest, we were singing about it, priest, the year of Jubilee. Jubilee. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. Now pay back. Bless everybody. Amen. Forgive everybody their debts. God forgave us of our sin, of rejecting him on the garden. Jubilee. Jesus came sounding the trumpet. I am here. He is here. That song. He is here. The great King of Kings came here and set us free. Don't be deceived. When he came, he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And he destroyed sin and the effects that it has on mankind. But Don't be deceived. You have to receive that forgiveness. You have to receive Jesus. You just can't mentally say, I believe. No, you got to let him come into your life. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil knows if you've given your life to Jesus or not. He won't mess with you a whole lot if you hadn't, because you'll destroy your own life without God. Now, he's in there, because anything that's not with God is dark. It just gets darker and darker. So don't be deceived. And don't think you've messed up too bad that you can't be fixed. Amen. So when you do something wrong and you know it's wrong, that's not deception. When you do something wrong and you know it was wrong, that's not deception. That's just making a poor choice. The only deception is that you think there'll be no consequences to what you did. See, God is a God of long suffering. He's long suffering. Sometimes the devil will deceive you, because Jesus said, don't compare yourself among yourselves. Because if you do, you'll be that's unwise, and you will be deceived. Because God is long suffering, waiting that none should perish, but all come into the knowledge of the truth. See, somebody might be doing things wrong, and you see it's wrong, you're doing things right, and you're like, God, where's the justice here? Where is the justice? That's not your seat. You're not the judge. You're to seat in love. Let God be the judge. See, God knows what's going on in that situation, and we don't. He knows the end from the beginning. Our position is to love one another as Jesus loved us. Not as the world loved, as Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Not as the world treats you. Because we can be deceived. The nature of deception is a work of fear that begins with questioning truth, as God said, or the facts. Amen. Proverbs 3, I like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Breaker, breaker, remember the old radios? I had the walkie-talkies. I could hear them CBers out there. Now, I was a little boy. I had me a 9-volt walkie-talkie, 9-volt radio. I was across 1109 Bridge in Mooresville, and those truckers would be out there on Highway 77. Hey, Teddy Bear, you got your ears on out there? And I'd hear a reply. Well, I'm just a little boy with a walkie-talkie, but I want to be in the game. I want to be in this conversation. I want to transmit my signal, and I want to be like the big boys. I want somebody to acknowledge me, because my dad's not being a dad. He's not there. See, a boy's reaching out for, I need somebody to, what's the word? Acknowledge me. To acknowledge that I'm here. I'm a son. I was born. I'm here. See, I told you, Dad just called me. You know, I wasn't supposed to be. I was an accident. But I could hear those truckers, man. I wanted to get in there, and I would try my best to listen for him, and have me a 9-volt radio, a 9-volt battery walkie-talkie, breaker, breaker, breaker 1-9, breaker 1, depending on what channel you're on, breaker 1-9, have you got your ears on, breaker, somebody hear me, breaker, breaker, breaker. And every now and again, they'd catch my signal. Now, I wouldn't know what to say. Now, what do I say? Because I wasn't no truck driver. I was just wanting to be in the conversation. I wanted to be in the conversation. Man, God has created us with the purpose. You know, if you play football, you don't like to sit on the bench. Man, I don't want to sit on the bench. I want to be in the game. I want to be in the game, man. I was telling Rowan, through all this crisis, he's missed football. You know, my freshman year, I didn't play because I was working. And I'm like, that old mighty dollar kept me from really what I wanted to do. I wanted to play football because I liked it. So my sophomore year, I played and got MVP because I love football. I mean, tackled a guy with the ball. It wasn't too hard. And just, I was fast and skinny back then, and I was skinny. I was like Roman. I was skinny. And I, you know, the big boys that's out there trying to block you, I outrun them. I just throw them, get out of the way, and get the guy with the ball. But I remember, I don't know who we were playing, and I was telling Roman, because we was talking about different things, and being blindsided. when you're playing, because he had a couple of times he was blindsided, you know, on kickoff teams. You go down there, you're going full steam, you know, going after the guy with the ball, and somebody comes out of your peripheral vision, you didn't see it, and he knocks you into the knocks you into the sideline, gets you, you know, you didn't see that coming. That's what the devil, he's a deceiver, try to knock you when you're asleep, when you're down. But when I was JV, I played everything. We didn't have a lot of players, so if you signed up, that coach would use your body. You're a body, and I need you on the field. I played kickoff, kickoff, receive, punt, punt, receive, offense and defense. But you know what? I enjoyed every minute. I had the rush, I had the adrenaline, and I had the speed. I didn't have a covenant with God then, but still, God loved me. And I enjoyed football. And I remember one game we were playing, and I can't remember if we won or not. I was just playing, and if anybody knows what a pulling guard does, if you're offense, you over here on this side, and then the play is going on to that side. So the pulling guard will pull, and the running back's coming behind me, and I'm a big old dude, bigger than, you know, if you're offense, you're supposed to be a little bit bigger. And then the defense, there's a guy out here, there's going to be a total open spot, because the guy that usually blocks him is going to be blocking somebody else, because he can't see me coming down the line. And that pulling guard's coming down here, and that running back's behind me, and when that defensive guy comes out, that guard's going to take him out, and that back's going to come around. That's called a pulling guard. Well, this night, I was a defensive man. And I saw the play, and I'm going full force, and there's nobody in front of me. I'm going to take this quarterback, this back out. When all of a sudden, there's a little old dude. You know, I'm still 6 foot, probably five, you know, pretty close to my height back then. This guy's, I seen the tape afterwards, so I know. This guy was little. He came out of nowhere, jacked me up underneath my chin strap. I was out. I got back up. Man, where did that thing come from? And my teammates, I'm ready for the next play, and they say, Jackson, you need to go to the side, man. Your blood's coming out of your chin, man. You need to go to the sideline. I'm like, I don't feel anything. It's numb. Go over there. They rush me down, Troutman, to the doctor's office. He puts about 7 stitches in my chin. Says, I think you'll be all right if you want to get back in. I said, thank you, Doc. Get me back in the game. Who took me out? So I'm back in the second half, man, because, man, that's my position. I am trained for this. The next thing we're talking about is prepare ahead of time. I've been preparing. I've been training. I've been running my butt off in this football to play, and now somebody going to try to take me out? I didn't care. Put me back in, coach. I had a big old pad, big old thing. I looked goofy, probably big old pad, you know, there, protecting my chin strap. But I tell you what, I didn't fall for that again. I think we probably won that game. Prepare ahead of time. Be ready. Be ready. Amen. See, that my passion was to get back in the game. See, the devil's tactic, he wants to hit you when you're down. He wants to take a breath out of it. He wants to knock you down. He wants to take you out. But if you got a good coach, if you got a good foundation, that coach will get you back in the game. I always heard, if you fall off a horse, get right back on. Why? Fear of getting back on the horse. See, faith overcomes fear. And fear is the exact opposite of faith. If the devil can get you into fear, he's stopping you. He's got you. He's got you trapped. So fear just works opposite. It's fear in false evidence appearing real. When God knows your future, he knows to prepare you ahead of time. So last week we read 1 Timothy chapter 4. I think we read some of it, because I think I got started and didn't even get through 1 Timothy 4 through 16. So I'm going to read through here. It says, now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Here are some of these doctrines of devils: forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, vegetarians, which God hath created. God created these meats to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What's the truth? Every creature of God, verse 4, is good. It's good. Remember, he said it in the beginning. Everything he created was good. And he got to Vivian, and he said, "That's very good." Oh, I'm sorry, Vivian. First one went to Bob. And Bob, he said, "That's very good." Because Vivian was coming next, and that make you very, very good, Bob. That's the woman coming to compliment the man. Amen. I tell you what, if I got steak, and if I don't have no A1 or ketchup, it's not too complimentary. I don't like my steak alone. Amen. Anybody else like to have sides with the main course? God put woman by his, not under his. Heard a good message preached on that. Pastor Jim Howard. Amen. The woman was meant to come by your side, not to be underneath our feet. Amen. Adam was the salad. Eve was the main course. I believe you're right, Jim. That might be in your next book. Talking about the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Woman was a gift to man, and children are a gift to a woman and a man. Amen. They're a gift from God. Life is a gift. Amen. Verse 5, for they're talking about this food is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, this is Paul charging Timothy, you shall be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith. What church is this? Word of Faith Worship Center. And of good doctrine, whereunto you have attained, Timothy, but refuse profane and old wives' tales. And wives, this ain't giving you a bad rap. These are just tales passed on that were not true. Falsehoods, deception. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little. You know, me and Rome was talking about this on the way here this morning. What sense does it make, Rowan, you might have to help me here, to build your, in this, the lockdowns we've had, what's open and what's not open, what benefit, we know this sickness, this virus, it comes against your immune system. So if I want to prepare ahead of time against this thing, I want to be pumped up. I want to have a good immune system, be breathing, be exercising, be eating right. This is against anything, not just corona. I don't care, swine flu, bug flu, bird flu, whatever it is, it's against you. God is for you. I said, if something's against you, God's for you. So he said, be prepared ahead of time. Build yourself up in your most holy faith. That's praying in the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. If you haven't got that gift, it's for you. It's inside you. You just need to yield to it, receive it, and operate in it. We'll help you if you need to. Be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speak in other tongues. Don't want to get off. What was I talking about here? Don't want to lose this train of thought now. Being prepared ahead of time. Oh, man, I lost it. Where was that? Your immune system. Yeah. Common sense. Your immune system. Build it up. Well, they leave the casinos open, and they shut down the gym. How can that build? If you want to build yourself against this system, you want to go to the gym, right? And I'm not a gym goer. A gym goes to the gym. He sees some good things on the bulletin board, some words on the bulletin board, but he's building. The Bible says right here, those things really profit little. Physical exercise, bodily exercise. But now in a pandemic and a virus, you want that to work. So where is the, we're supposed to be helping people save lives if you shut down the gym, which is supposed to be building your immune system up. Don't want people going there. Go to casinos. Lose your money. Destroy your life. Your marriage. Gambling. Liquor store. Same idea. Destroy your life. Destroy your body. That's hurting your body. The gym's helping your body. But we got to close that gym. That don't make sense, Jim, does it? A lot of gems in there. They want us to be in fear, not in faith. So I'm just helping you guys because this is the world we're living in. But the kingdom of God suffers violence. And my Bible says the violence, you got to take it by force. You got to be like the pastor in California. You got to stand and say, we're going to sing and we're going to worship and we're going to love people and pray for people. And he won. The judge was for him. The church is still singing. Church is still worshiping, praising, and doing what they're essential. They're the ones that should be. They're on the front lines. We're on the front lines. Amen. So, and we prayed. Your prayers make a difference. Amen. Don't think they don't, because when you send the word, the Bible says the word will not come back to me void. That was the word of faith. We believed in faith for our brothers and sisters. And there's plenty more. But guys, they have to make that step. That pastor, he has to have in his heart that kind of, they got to make. You have to make the step. This is your choice coming in here. The doors are open, but it's your choice. And we love you regardless. Bootsy's not here. She's making a choice. She feels like she needs to stand. She's standing at home, and she's standing strong at home, and we pray for her, and we love her. Amen? Amen. But you have to make that choice. Don't let nobody make the choice for you. That's what Jesus is saying. Timothy, I've given you the word. I've laid a good foundation. Now, there's going to be the devils coming in. These wives, tales, they're coming in, Timothy. Don't you be swayed. Don't let them look how young you are and tell them you're too young to be a minister of the gospel. Doctrine, that's deception. And he says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God and we're taking persecution for it. We're trusting, they're trusting in science. Well, I trust in science if it's based on the Word of God, if it's based on facts. Amen? Not just a theory. Let's have the facts. And then, okay, once we see the facts, well, let's move on these facts. The facts say, my immune system does better if I'm letting it be worked. You know, the Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. When I put the word to work, that means I'm working it. Amen? Your immune system works better when it's being attacked. Right? If I'm a doctor, in other words, if I stay home and stay isolated from everybody, and I got the Lysol and all this stuff, and I walk out into a world that doesn't have that environment, now I'm suffering because I haven't been letting my God-given body, what it was never designed to against his curse, but God knew it was coming. So he just pumped it up on the inside. Whatever he did, he knew what we needed, and he put it on the inside of us. Our body would adapt to whatever came against it. Amen. It's still a spirit being that just we were separated from God in that blessing. Amen. God never left. He came back. He's never left us. We departed. We left him. See, we got off the bus. Bus still came. Just nobody got on the bus. We couldn't get on the bus anymore. God had to move. God had to protect the way. See, I always thought, you know, coming up in school, Sunday school, a lot of times, God kicked, man. He kicked us out of the garden. God didn't kick us. He loved us. He protected the way. Who is the way? Come on. That's the tree of life. He had to take this tree of life and move it so we wouldn't take of it and live forever in a sinful state. Cancer, all this curse, all this stuff. We living forever down here. No, God had to protect the way of the tree of life until the way maker came. We're going back to the tree. We're going back to Genesis. We're going back to the garden. Amen. We're not going to be deceived. That tree of life is still for us. Jesus is, he's a tree, amen, he's life. So don't let no man despise you, your youth, Timothy, verse 12, but be an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, this is Paul telling Timothy, till I come, give attendance to reading, that's what we're doing, to exhortation and to doctrine. How can we do that? Not face to face. I mean, we can do it, but it ain't going to be personal. It was personal. Jesus going to the cross was personal. Amen? Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. It ain't about me. It's about you all. Down south is y'all. It's a profitable to y'all. Amen? Take heed unto yourself and to doctrine. Continue in my word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're not only converts, you're disciples. Discipleship. Man, that's when it gets down to rubber meets the road. You burn rubber. I like that. I never heard it said that way. When the rubber meets the road, what do? Burn rubber. Take off, man. Get on the drag strip. When it comes down to it, take off with Jesus. Man, burn rubber. Captain would say, Moses said, forward march. That's burn rubber. Amen. The Old Testament. Burn rubber, Moses. And God parted the Red Sea. But what happened? Somebody had to stretch the rod out and put it in the water. That's faith. Faith takes hold of the promises of God and said, move, waters. And God breathed. Breath. Ruach. Red Sea split. Not only did it split, God dried the ground. He didn't want you to get stuck in the mud. He left that for Pharaoh and his chariots. They got stuck in the mud. I told you about my mud story. I ain't going to go that way. Devil will leave you stuck in the mud. He will. I was deceived. I thought I had a four-wheel drive that could go through the mud. I had a four-wheel drive, but I ain't never drove one. I'm not an experienced driver. Amen. Rowan is going to be getting licensed for too long, but that does not make him an experienced driver. His mama will tell you, won't she, Rowan? She doesn't. Daddies are more of a, we observe. Can I get amen when our kids are driving? We observe, not mama, not Wanda, not Miss Tammy. And I'm using my wife. I saw I'd be talking to her. She's the alpha and the omega. She tells what you're going to do before you do it. Slow down before you get to the stoplight. See this car over here? See this motorcycle over here? Yes, mama. Yes, mama. Yes, mama. If Rowan would just say, yes, ma'am, there might be less conversation from her. In other words, I hear you, mama. I hear you. I hear you, mama. Amen. Mamas are like that. Why? They love their babies. Don't want to see them get hurt. I seen Rowan wanted to go spend the night, so yesterday I said, now you can go spend the night, but I'm going to get you early in the morning because you're my sidekick. It's me and you today in church, and I need some help. And he was up. He smelled like camping fire. They'd been out by the campfire all night. He smelled like smoke. But he still came. He still, you know, he had his clothes on. He was still up. And I got him. But before we left yesterday to take him to his friend's house, I was watching a mockingbird. And I seen a little bird fly in front of me. And it was a good flight. It was slow though. I'm like, man, that's a little old bird. But then I seen Mama Bird come behind. See, she's teaching baby bird how to fly. But she's watching over. She gave him some distance. And he flew up in a tree and he sat there. And I'm waiting for him to kind of see. I want him to see him fly again. Because I just like that flight, learning how to fly. See, I wanted to get an exit. See, I'm listening to God here. Lord, you put creation in front of me to teach me something, to show me something. He said, look at the ant. Got to say in the Proverbs, look at the ant. Look how he prepares in summertime for harvest. Prepare ahead. So I'm watching, and the bird just sits there. But I watch Mama Bird. She comes down, and she gets something that's alive in the road, and she takes it back up and gives it to her honey. Little boy, girl. But it was a reward. You've done good. That was a good flight. Here. Enjoy this insect. What's mama doing? Exhorting her son. That was a good flight. She's there to protect. Now, she's watching for we got a black cat. Pepper is her name. She brought a couple birds to our front door. Well, not really the bird. It's what's left of. I won't get too graphic with you. Because the cat likes to say, hey, look what I done today. So it could have been two or three baby birds, but I only saw one out there, Wayne. But mama's there feeding and protecting, watching for that black cat. And she makes a lot of noise. Little mockingbirds, they are noisy birds. But I was telling Rowan, I said, watch. I pointed out because I said, this is a training lesson. Because one day that bird is going to fly on its own. And it's going to come against adversity, strong winds. It's going to come against black cats that's trying to, you know, make you meal, be meal, amen? So mama's there to protect. Daddies are there. A lot of times we are observing mama. But we're different, guys. Our roles are different, but God's the same. He's a mother and he's a father. He's a spirit. He's not gender, but he gave Jesus as an example of who he is, the true nature of God. See, a lot of people look at the Old Testament and they can't see God. They see the Bible calls him a master. The Bible, the Old Testament, is supposed to be our schoolmaster. Well, they don't see him as a schoolmaster. They see him as master, a slave master. You get out of line, I'll take you out. That's the way they see God, but that's not his nature. He's a protector. Amen? So don't be deceived. God is love. Amen? He is love. So we're preparing ahead of time. Paul's telling Timothy, take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Continue in my word. Continue in them. Nah, you can miss church 3 or 4 months. You'll be okay. Deception. I was telling Rowan just being a good example. We were talking a little bit. Now, we didn't talk a lot, but I guess we talked about some points I need to talk about. I said, Rowan, it would be awesome last night if Jesus, because I tell him on the way coming to church, man, there's no traffic on the way to church this morning. No cars on the road. I said, what is sad. That's telling me everybody's at home sleeping, not coming to church. But not us. Man, the early bird catches the word. We want to get the word this morning, man. We want to prepare ahead of time. We want to know what's coming before it comes. We want to have our oil ready in our lamps, right? We won't be like the 10 virgins that had their oil, not like the ones that's like, oh, we're going to sleep a little bit. We're getting a rest from church. We're getting a rest from, we're taking a rest. And don't be deceived. And it's okay if you're home watching it because you can't come, but you better be home watching it and learning and listening. That's okay. But don't just be taking a break to be taking a break because you'll be deceived. And I told Rowan, I said, what if Jesus, we'd have heard the trumpet last night and we'd have got out of here? I said, there'd been a lot of churches, the pastors wouldn't even know the church was gone because they wouldn't be allowed to go to church anyway. They wouldn't even have known. Just food for thought. Just food for thought. It's sad. A lot of God's people's house is sitting empty when he's speaking and he's declaring the word. Continue in my word. Continue in my doctrine. Don't be deceived. In the last days, it's going to get darker, darker, darker. But don't you be deceived, Timothy. Don't you be deceived. Church, don't be deceived. The Christian life cannot be lived effectively in spurts. You know, if I was a runner, I'd be the one that done the 50-yard dash. Don't put me on a track. Don't tell me I got to run miles and miles and miles. I tell you what, I'll sit on the bench on that game. I'll be the water boy. Because I don't like to run. That gift is not in me. Jim, I think Jim's maybe a runner. Nope. Somebody in here loves to run. Looky here. We got a runner in here. Got some runners in here. Got some runners. Amen. So if I'm not a runner, I'm a walk faster. I'll walk fast. I'll cheer you on. Run, Forrest. Run. But I tell you what, in the game of life, in this life, we got to be prepared ahead of time. We have to abide in Christ and in his doctrine. Open the eyes of my heart. Open my ears, Lord. Let me hear. Be attentive. Because the just says, we can't do this in spurts. No, we do it every day. The just shall live by faith every day. We just don't visit there every once a week. We live in faith every day. Wanda, I told her I might use her for example last week, but I went all kind of ways, but I told her she's a good, you said up front, you're a good place for props that I can use people. But she's a great woman of faith. Now, I didn't hear it from her, but I heard it from the next best thing close to her was her husband when she had to go to the hospital because she wasn't feeling good. And we heard, Wanda, and if you want to tell this, would you rather, okay. She's like, my wife, no, you're fine until we leave church. And she said, why didn't you tell them this and why didn't you tell them that? And I'm like, you had your opportunity. You got to step out and get on the boat and then talk a little here, talk. And the next thing you know, you'll be shouting it from the housetop. But anyway, Jim told us, you know, they separated you guys and that he didn't like that. We don't like to be separated because God said, don't be you separate. That's right. When he joined us together, it's for life until we part. I don't like to say death, until we depart. Amen. But Jim said that the doctor come here and looked at you and said, well, I think it looks like you got COVID. But then Jim said, he just declared it. And Wanda, the woman of faith, said, I don't think I got that, right?
I said, I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon. I don't have that. Why did she say that? Prepared ahead of time. She prepared ahead of time. I'm not having it. Why? Jesus don't have it. The church don't have it. The body of Christ don't have it. See, she prepared ahead of time when the adversity came, when the deception came. See, wants to deceive. Hadn't even checked her out. Just looks like she got it. I don't believe I do. See, that's deception. That's false evidence appearing real. But that's a woman of faith. Says, no, let me tell you what I don't have and what I do have. Amen. So Wanda, that's a woman of faith. That's what faith does. It does something. Amen. And this is where we've got to stand, church. Her test was negative. Why? She put a positive on it. She put the cross on there. She said something. I don't have that, doc. Amen. Amen. I don't have it. Don't want it. Don't care for it. And we love doctors. We love people. But we hate the devil. Why? Because he first hated us. God loved me because he first loved me. I hate the devil because he decided I hate God. And if he hates God, guess what? I'm in the family. He don't like me either. But we don't like him either. Amen? And how is the best way to show him? Love people. Love them to life. Love them to life. Love them to God. I mean, he's life. So we live by faith. Paul was instructing Timothy to give himself totally to seeking God and the Lord. This would cause him to succeed. The same thing holds true for us. The Word never changes. The Lord manifests himself through our lives in proportion to the way we seek him. What measure are you giving him? You give him a whole heart, half heart, quarter heart? Because the Bible says, seek him with your whole heart, wholeheartedly. And what does God give back? Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. He gives you his heart of compassion. Jesus, at times, he was moved with compassion and healed the sick. When was he moved? One of the times he heard his cousin just got beheaded for telling the truth. Bad situation. That's family. That's close. They were both filled with the Holy Ghost from their mother's womb. And it made a difference what John said, Wanda. Because he was filled with the Spirit of God and said, you shouldn't be doing that. That's wrong. See, don't never let the world deceive you that what's wrong is right and what's right is wrong. It's what God says. And the only way you're going to know what God says, get in the Word, come to church. In other words, surround yourself with people that believe the Word of God. Period. This is what God says. Life says. And you'll have life. And that more abundantly. Well, it don't look like it. I don't care. You keep living. You keep trusting God. There was something I took a picture of. I can't use my phone. I see a camera right there. I see a big camera instead of my phone. Phone's supposed to be in my pocket. But I took a picture. Somebody sent me they highlighted their Bible and trust the Lord, trust the Lord, commit your ways. It's in Proverbs. Trust, commit. And there was another C there. Trust the Lord, commit yourself. And I liked it. I'll tell you later. I don't want to say it and say it wrong. But Paul is telling Timothy, you want to succeed as a minister of the gospel? Don't be deceived by wise tales, what mama said, unless it's passed along and you know it's good. That goes right over to Joshua 1 and 8, talking about success. Don't make your goal to succeed. Make your goal to seek God. Don't make your goal to be a success. Make your goal to seek God and you will succeed. Joshua prepared ahead of time and Moses prepared ahead of time. He was preparing Joshua. Not everybody went to the mountain, stayed by the mountain while Moses was on top of the mountain. Joshua, I bet he rather would have been on top of the mountain with Moses, having a mountaintop experience with God. God might have, I think if God had to rethink it, he might have said, I think I maybe should have had Joshua up here when he saw Moses go down there and destroy the tablets. Had to go for a double copy. Moses had to go back up on the mountain. But the point is, Joshua stayed at his place waiting. Jim, I've stayed at my place waiting to be under you. I mean, I was under you and I stayed at my place and I'm still waiting. I mean, Jesus is the chief shepherd, but he puts us under shepherds. And I've waited and been underneath some good shepherds. And the Lord says, now it's your time. I don't know everything that means, but it's our time. Teresa, you got something? I think it sounds right. Trust, commit, and there was another C there, but it's like the second or third verse down. But I'll pull it up. That's probably close. Thank you. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate when? Day and night, night and day, when you leave church, when you're at church, that you may observe to do, there's the doing, do according to all that is written therein, for then when? When you're doing what you've been preparing for. I've been preparing for this for about 20-some years. Once I got born again, I knew the Lord called me to minister, but then I went into preparatory time, preparing for today. Amen? To what to say. Now, how do I prepare what to say? I get before the feet of Jesus. I prepare, I read, I study. But then I come here and I say, what, Lord? What you want to say, Lord? I just yield my body. I yield my tongue to the Lord and just let Him use my life as an example. What will you do for the Lord? Can He use you for an example? That's another thing me and Rowan talked about. Don't think you got to be perfect for God to use you. You'll be waiting until Jesus returns to make you perfect. Amen? A lot of people will close here. Remember, Rowan, make a note, we closed at Joshua 1 and 8. Still ain't got after part 2. We're still in preparatory time. But don't think you got to be perfect for God to use you. This pastor out in California, and I'm not sure, John MacArthur, he won the battle, the judge, the lawsuit that he had, but there was another pastor that had an interview with Andrew Womack and their team, but he was just talking about he had to stand, he had to fight. And they're coming against him, the pastor here, saying, well, what about Romans 3:13 that talks about, submit yourselves to the authorities and do. This is what the word says. This is other pastors saying, why are you opening your church? You're supposed to be obeying the civil governments. Right. As long as they're not doing like Peter said. Well, you're telling us don't go more preach in the name of Jesus. This is Peter saying. And they took him in prison. And they said, well, judge ye where we've missed it. What are we doing so wrong? And they couldn't, because what they were doing was godly. And the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders said, we got to let them go. We can't find no fault in them. But they beat them and said, go teach no more in the name of Jesus. Well, then Peter got locked up again or got called again. He said, you be the judge. Should we do what God says or what you say? And Peter just pretty much told him, Jesus told me to preach the gospel. I'm sorry. If that offends you, lock me up. But God be the judge. So if that government is against godly, locking down the church, just helping feed people, love people, heal people, deliver people, save people through Christ, that's wrong. That's when you don't obey. Now, you submit. There's a difference between submission and obedience. I submit to that authority, but I don't have to. Peter went out and he didn't obey. He went out and preached Jesus. Now, he submitted to them. In other words, he didn't go against he didn't go. I don't like to use the word protest because I'm not against protest, but he didn't go to the Capitol and start getting in their mess, and there's nothing wrong with having laws and making them right. But what Peter did is he went out and he preached the gospel, because that was wrong to tell me I can't have my freedom, because Peter got set free. He got born again, and he said, how can I not tell this world about this great work that Jesus did? So there's the balance, the scales you got to have. And we're here to preach the gospel, to tell people that God loves you and He's healed you. He's delivered you from all sickness, all sin, for all time. Amen? Yeah. So be prepared ahead of time. I was telling Rowan, you want to come up here and tell the rest of this? I've been talking about you all morning. But we were having these good conversations this morning, being prepared ahead of time. We've raised our kids. Does that mean they're going to go out and do everything right? No. But something on the inside, the foundation is there. Don't you tear down that foundation. I'm not pointing to Tammy. Don't tear down the foundation. Build it with your words. Because with your words you can justify people, or with your words you can condemn them. Jesus didn't, the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. He's there to convict you of Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Don't get that twisted. Amen? Because you don't want to tear something down. Jesus came to build it up. He told to Peter, when Peter said, Lord, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Jesus said, Peter, I'll build my church on what you said. You just heard from my Father. And that's how we build the church. Amen? On what God says. And God says you're loved and you're blessed. Even in your mess or the mess you're making, God says He still sees you blessed. He sees your children blessed. He sees your checking account blessed. So you've got to see what God sees. You've got to have the eyes of Jesus. Amen. You got to see your relationship blessed. You got to see that you fulfill your days here on the earth blessed, not sick. Walking in the blessings of the Lord, not poor. In other words, not just having your needs met, but being able to meet the needs of other people. I'm believing, and my wife wanted to make sure I'm still believing. You said a $10,000 check is what you've seen. Yes, I didn't see it with my eyes, but I see it in my heart. I just heard Jesse give a testimony. He started with $100, and then he went to $1,000. Then he said $10,000. When he said $10,000, I said, Jesse, I'm right there, brother. I'm believing right where you were. And then he went to $100,000. I said, I'm really not there yet, Jesse. But he went from the $10,000. He's done it. He went from $100,000. He did it. And he was poor. He was raised poor. But you don't have to stay there. And that choice is up to every one of you guys. God doesn't have a problem with blessing his children. Amen. We just have to watch our mind that this is as far as I could go. Don't limit. Don't put it. That's it. No. Take the limits off, Ron. What does God want to do? He wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to the nations. Abraham? Abraham. I said, I'm trying to say amen, but Abraham. Amen, Abraham. I think Abraham said amen from heaven. He said amen. God blessed me. He blessed Abraham. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God could. See, we need to believe God can bless you. But then God needs to say, okay, can you got the bucket? Are you ready for the bucket? Throw away that spoon. If he's done proved to you he can meet you with the spoon. Now give him something bigger. Okay, God, take one of these faith buckets home if you need to. We got more over here. If you need to take a faith bucket home, take it home. I'm just saying. When I started my walk of faith, I worked for the housing authority, and I mowed, I painted, and when I found out that God wants to bless me, and I was in debt, and we were struggling, but every time I'm out there blowing and weed eating, I'd find a penny, I'd find a nickel, I'd find a dime. I picked it up, and I took it home, and I put it in a can. I put on there, I called it my faith can. I put it in that can, and when I got to church, I gave it. I sowed it. Because I was seeing every penny, every nickel, every dime. People were walking over. But I seen it. I said, God, if he can take this penny and turn it into 100. That's 100 more than I didn't have. 99 more than I didn't have. That's called increase. And I made me a faith can. And I did away with the can. Amen. I got past the can. Remember Opie on Andy Taylor? He kicked that can down the road. Had a problem. He just kicked the can. I tell you what. God, you don't have to kick God. You don't have to beg God. You don't have to plead with God. You just got to love God. Love God, love people, and be ready. Have your bag ready. Fill it up, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for we're guarding against deception. In these last days, Lord, we're going to be your people that have the eyes and the ears. Lord, we're going to hear what you say. We're going to listen to you. Not only do we hear, Lord, we're going to say, yes, Lord, your servant hears. Yes, Lord. Now, when I say servant, you're a son and daughter now, but that's what the Old Testament, that's what Samuel says. He said, here I am, Lord. Here I am. Now, what should I do? What should I do, Lord? And look, listen to the peace. Listen to the direction. Now, God's going to trust you. You're not a robot. When you talk, it's a one-on-one communication. God is not, he wants you to, man, he gave Adam the thought, elephant. Adam said, elephant. I ain't going to try to blow like an elephant. God said, dog. Adam said, dog. See, God gave Adam a thought, but Adam gave life to the thought. See, Adam was looking at it, and God was saying, what do you want to see, Tammy? What do you want to see, Terry? See, Adam saw something, and God spoke something, and then Adam said something. Giraffe. See, Adam saw, God said, I got to make something that can get those leaves way up there on the tree. So God said, giraffe. Adam said, giraffe. See, how could two walk together except they'd be agreed? See, Adam was agreeing what Daddy said. But see, Daddy still gave Adam the choice. Are you going to name it? You going to name it? Amen. So name it and claim it. That Valkyrie, Honda Valkyrie that was on the back of that truck in my neighborhood right up the street. That's a pretty looking bike. So I haven't really yet put a name on my motorcycle. so I guess I need to go shopping. Right? I need to go faith shopping, Jim. Women, when you go shopping in the stores, now a lot of my wife, she'll come home. I get a notification on my bank card. Notification, such and such amount of notification. Well, God is notifying you. Faith is drawing you to things that you like. See, God gives you the desires of your heart. He's not going to give you a desire for a motorcycle if you don't like to ride one. Come on, God ain't going to waste his time. But we're all geared differently. I like motorcycles. My wife could care less. And if there's things that she likes, I could care less. But together, if I like it, we got to walk. How can two of us walk together except we be agreed? So I got to get an agreement. Put a name on that motorcycle. I like the Honda Valkyrie. Cecil's not here. He got a Harley. Harley. That's what a Harley is. Harley. Honka. I've always ridden kind of the Hondas. Honda. I'm not speaking in tongues. That's just the way the motorcycles sound. Nothing wrong with a Honda, Harley. They cost a lot more than a Honda. I've looked. They cost a lot more. But that doesn't matter if I'm not paying for it, right? Because God said just to believe. Believe for it. Now, I sowed a motorcycle 20 years ago at camp meeting. I didn't sow it just because I was wanting it. I just sowed it because I loved God. And that motorcycle was in the way of my relationship. It was a God to me, and I gave it. I sowed it. And what's the pastor down there? Dean Melton took it and raffled it and made money and fed the people out there on the streets with the money. Somebody paid for that motorcycle and got blessed. But then the Lord reminded me, hey, when I started having the desire to ride a bike again, he said, you know you got seed in the ground. I'm like, I sure do. That seed's been in the ground 20 years. Waiting for me to name it. Still good. Amen. So I got to see it and name it. Jesus is a name. God named him. Actually, come on, God spoke to Mary and Joseph and said, Jesus. And they said, Jesus. Amen. See, that was his son. God gave him a name, but he still had to declare it in the earth. Jesus! Declare him today. Amen. Jesus, you are awesome. You're awesome in this place. Don't be deceived. There'll be those who'll come, they're false Christ, trying to bless you. They're actually after things and not after your heart. They want you to love. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for your people. I speak blessings over your people today, Lord, that we won't be deceived. Lord, I speak blessings over your people, Lord. You said your blessing, it makes us rich financially, spiritually, emotionally. And, Lord, you don't add no sorrow with it, Lord. You cut the sorrow out. Because you cut the devil, you put him under our feet. And Lord, we have to decree that and declare that every day of our life. Until you come in glory, Lord, and you're going to destroy him with the sword of your mouth. That Lord, we claim you as our Lord and Savior. And we claim you as our King and Priest, our High Priest. Our confession of our faith is in you, Jesus. And I speak life and blessing over everybody in this church. I speak peace over your mind in the name of Jesus. I speak blessings in your home in Jesus' name. I command light and darkness in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that's in us than he that's in this world. And we thank you, Father God, for a glorified church. A glorified church walking in the blessings of the Lord. And we thank you for that, Father. We call Concord blessed. Lord, we lift up our country and our nation, Lord. We speak against the evil right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we command and we say enough is enough. It will not come near our place. Lord, we will be the answer. Jesus, you are the answer. And we will be your voice and we will be your people. And we will declare God as our Father. And you, Jesus, you are the Son. And you're the only way to the Father. And we'll love people into the kingdom, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for manifesting your gifts in and through our lives. And for us being vessels, Lord, that we can reach out here and see the miracles happen on the streets. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for our finances, or we call them blessed. That, Lord, you said you would increase us more and more as we trust you, that we'll walk in this world as your ambassadors, Lord. Your name is written on us, Father, and we will display you to the world of the true nature of who you are, Lord. And we thank you, Father God. Lord, we lift up our country and our nation. We lift up our president, Lord, with the passing of his brother, Father. We pray for peace and comfort to him and to the families and to all those, Lord, in leadership around the world, Lord. You said lift up all men, kings, that we could come to, that they would come to the knowledge of the truth, that we can lead a peaceful life, Lord, and we speak that peace. Your peace, Lord, that the world can't understand. We declare peace in the mighty name of Jesus. Peace to Israel. Peace to Jerusalem. Peace to your cities and peace to your people. Father, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. If you need personal prayer this morning, need agreement, something we can agree on, set our faith in agreement. Pete Hoffman, Lord. Lord, be his substitute. Lord, through that chemo, Lord, be the substitute that takes out the wrong, takes out the evil, the side effects of that chemo, Lord, whatever it is, Father. Be the substitute, Lord. We just speak life to him. We release life to him in the name of Jesus, Father. Touch him, spirit, soul, and body, Lord. Let no fear arise in his heart. Let no fear arise, Lord. Let your word arise. Let healing arise in your wings, Lord. Let healing arise. Let healing arise there, Father. In the name of Jesus, we send forth that word of healing. Healing, Lord. It's the children's bread, Lord. Let him take a big, take a loaf of your bread, a loaf of your healing, Lord, into his body. Let him hear that good word of healing and let him receive it, Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord. So Cindy is saying they are preparing ahead of time. Lord, they are preparing ahead of time to see a negative report. So Father, we just thank you right now that they are in your hands. They are in your place that the devil has no place. They are in a place of healing. They're in a place of rest. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for that supernatural peace and rest that comes on Cindy and Cecil in their home, in their bodies, in their mind. That, Lord, they are walking the walk of faith. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that they shall not be left. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty hand, for your mighty work, for the mighty testimony that Cecil and Cindy will get to tell of the great, mighty God that they serve, that he is a living God. He's a healing Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, with long life, you satisfy Cecil and Cindy and show them your salvation. Thank you, Lord, for coming for your word, for coming for your word in their lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Preparing ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. Jesus didn't say the storm wouldn't come, but he said in the midst of the storm, you can go to sleep. You can rest in the middle of the storm if you know God's not bringing the storm. God don't bring the storm. God brought the word. He brought Jesus. He brought the answer to the storm. Jesus is the answer to the storm. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Peace that passes understanding. You just have peace and you don't know why you don't understand. That's the peace of God. It's when you can't understand why you got peace. But the Holy Spirit will confirm. That's the Prince of Peace. That's the Prince of Peace fighting your battle for you. Not everybody has that, but we have that here. He's fighting our battles. He's fighting our battles. He's fighting our battles. Amen. He's seated in heaven. That's a place of authority. He's seated there until all his enemies, he's putting them underneath our feet. By what we decree and declare, he's putting them underneath our feet. Cecil's in that recliner. Amen. Jesus, tell Cecil he can recline, but Jesus will not recline. He will decline every negative thing that shall come to Cecil in Jesus' name. See, Cecil's in the recliner, but Jesus is not reclining. He's forever making intercession. He's at work. He's working it by faith. Amen. He's bringing His word to pass. He said it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. See, these children's ministry, sometimes children ain't here, but that doesn't mean Lisa's not preparing ahead of time. She's preparing. Life Christian University is getting ready to, not too long in the distant future, here in September. September is going to start again. So if you got anybody in their heart that's going to LCU, Lisa's preparing ahead of time to teach. Amen. She's believing by faith somebody's going to be there. I believe every day by faith somebody's going to come to this church. I did. I chose to fill up a spot years ago. I don't get to sit much in the pew anymore, but that's okay. I'm still taking up space. Amen. I'm still taking up space. Heart's free. Yes, sir. Can I, you want the mic? Where'd that mic go, Reed? Here it is. Thank you, Jesus. PA system. Prophecy. Agenda.
I've been eating tomato sandwich out of my yard. But if I hadn't planted them, I wouldn't have any.
That's right.
You have to sow a seed to meet your need.
There you go, brother.
So we heard about Wanda saying no to when it's trying to get her to have COVID. Mm-hmm. And so Cindy's testimony made me think of this. But so every morning and over breakfast, we pray and we say, Lord, we thank you that you bless our water, you bless our bread, you take sickness away from the midst of us, and all our days we fulfill in health. That's seed in
the
ground.
There you go. Amen.
And it's going to produce, and it produces. And so not only did she say no to COVID, but she also took about, I think, four or five things out of her esophagus and stomach and did biopsies on them, and every one of them were negative.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up here, Pastor. I'll let Pastor Jim dismiss us this day. Thank you, Lord. That's a good word. That's God watching over His word.
Oh, Father, we want to thank you for the reminder we've had. Be prepared.
Yes, Lord.
Don't be deceived. Be prepared. Mm-hmm. And that means we have to do something ahead of time before the problem gets here, usually.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's preparation. Get yourself stored up with the word of God.
Yes, Jesus.
We reminded Joshua, chapter 1. Don't let this word depart out of your mouth. Keep speaking it. Meditate on it day and night. Be thinking about it all the time, chewing on it.
Yes, Lord.
And then the third thing was do what it said. And then the blessings show up.
Amen.
So the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You're dismissed.